Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us or put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Great God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we gather here today to celebrate the beauty and the mystery of a God who is one yet three, of an infinite relationship, a relationship in which we've been invited to participate. So we thank you that we do not serve and worship a one-dimensional God, predictable and easy to understand, though some days that is what we desire. We know that far greater is the God that we have. You, our mighty God, who transcends our understanding, who loves, who gives, and who cares. As we come to your word together now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, yeah, I didn't invite the kids to go. Sorry about that. Later, kids. Enjoy. Yes. Well, we are here in Romans chapter 5. And what's our first word in Romans chapter 5? Somebody shout it out for me. Therefore. And what's the question we're supposed to ask? What's it there for? Amen. Somebody's been listening to me preach a few times. What is the therefore there for? That's a great question. It's a pretty easy one this time, because it tells you right away. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that's where we're starting point. That's our starting point for today's message is, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, justified, that's like a legal metaphor, right? To be justified means that you went before a judge and the judge pronounced you innocent. You are justified, right? We have been justified through faith. So our faith in Jesus has led us to an innocent verdict in some cosmic grand sense. We have been justified before God. So therefore, since that's happened, like just get that over with in half a sentence. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, since we've been forgiven, since we've been made clean, since we've been pronounced innocent, that's where we're moving to. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, since we have been justified. So my question, and it might be the question that you have too, is, so why are we so often not at peace? Right? It's a reasonable question, isn't it? Since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. It's not, peace is on its way, right? If you live a good life and then eventually you get peace, it's not, peace is coming as long as you do this, 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 and check this, 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 and this box. No, it says, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace. So my question is, why is it that, you know, like half the days that I live my life, I don't feel like I have any peace at all? Does anybody else feel this sometimes? Sometimes peace is very, very hard to find. Right? And, you know, it all depends on how we define peace, right? So if you think of peace as just serene and calm and you're raising four little children, right, that's, you're never going to find peace, right? That's not the kind of peace that you can have. So peace must mean something besides like sitting by a quiet lake, although that may be a very peaceful place and may be, you know, something that you need to do every once in a while, unplug and find that quiet space and be at peace. But we're not always at peace. And yet, through Christ, we are at peace. And we're at peace with God. And even in that, I don't always feel like I'm at peace with God. How many people have some questions for God sometimes? And it doesn't always feel all that peaceful. And sometimes the conversations we have with God aren't peaceful. Sometimes we're shaking our fists. Anybody ever shake your fists at God? And you're like, where do I shake it? Up that way, probably, right? No? Nobody else does this? Okay. I guess I'm in loony here, but that's all right. What else is new? Okay, so since we've been justified through faith, we have peace. We're not going to answer this question, why are we not at peace? Because there's a lot of reasons. We're not going to fully answer that question right now. But the reality is there. The peace, well, it sometimes is hard to come by. But let's move on. We have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So, back to this, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, but we've also, through our Lord Jesus Christ, gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. So, by faith, right, this is in Ephesians, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, right? This is a very similar wording. We have access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So those are the two sentences that I want to focus on right now. We've gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. the grace in which we now stand. That's a pleasant thing to think about, to be standing in grace. Now, you all are sitting, I understand, and that's you don't have to stand up. but the thought that where I'm standing is in grace, and that I can take a step over here and I'm still standing in grace. And yes, we can say that all ground is holy ground. We could make that argument. But the fact that I am standing in grace has something to do with Jesus and what he has done for me, right? I stand according to my faith, no matter where I stand, right? Whether it's in Lansing or Potterville or Grand Ledge or Williamston or Hazlitt, Saranac. That's just, you know, mid-Michigan. We got a whole lot of other geography to cover where we can all stand in faith, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. This image that we have access to faith into the grace in which we stand. Wherever we stand, God's grace is with us. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Anybody tried to boast in the hope of the glory of God and gotten some weird looks about it? Right? You try to boast about how good God is and how excited you are to be following him, and somebody looks at you and it's just like, are you from another planet? You ever gotten those looks? You're trying to like testify and bear witness to the goodness of God and to the hope that you have. And people are like, what? Hope doesn't make sense in a lot of places. So again, I'm going to ask the question. I asked, why are we so often not at peace? But I'm going to ask, are we standing in grace and hoping in glory? Are we standing in grace and hoping in glory? Are we standing on our own efforts and our own achievements and trying to do the best we gosh darn can to do what we need to for God? Or are we standing in grace? Are we standing in this ocean of grace that God has offered to us that, you know, we can't step out of no matter how hard we try? Or are we just trying to swim out of that ocean and get to shore where we can have our feet on some firm ground and be in control for once? Or, like, always in control, because we like that, right? It soothes us to be in control sometimes. Are we standing in grace and letting the grace come to us? And are we hoping in glory? Or is our hope in something else? All right. And this is where it gets weird. I think it is. It's a little weird. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. How many people used that phrase in the last week? Glory in my sufferings. How many people are trying to do that all the time? Glory in my sufferings. How many of us are just trying to get through our sufferings? Just trying to survive, just trying to keep our head above water, right? Glory is not the first word I think of when I think about suffering, right? And some suffering is very real. Some suffering is like, oh, I couldn't find a good parking spot. Some suffering is very, very real, right? Losing a loved one. You know, there's suffering that is, you know, for many people unimaginable, right? And to glory in it? How can suffering be glorious? This is weird. This is a weird thing to say, Paul. And he says that we can glory in our sufferings because we know. This is interesting. We know that. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. If we don't experience any suffering, any hard times, how likely are we to be able to persevere when the hard time comes? Like the first one that we ever have. It's kind of like a muscle, isn't it? The more little challenges, I mean, this is one of the huge principles behind Love and Logic, this parenting course that we teach here at Bretton Woods, is that you got to let little kids fail at small things and feel the pain of it. Because if they don't feel the pain of failing at small things, if you protect them from the pain of the small things, then, well, when they get old enough to find pain in big things, that's when they're going to start to feel it, right? But if you let them experience, oh, there are some dangers in this world, and I should look out for that and look out for that and look out for that, then they can learn and hopefully avoid the big, big, big pains of life, right? We need to teach our kids that, and we need to learn that ourselves, that pain builds our perseverance. We experience some tough things, and we persevere. It does build character, does it not? When we persevere through some hard things, it builds our character. It makes us stronger. Anybody ever gone through something hard and felt like a stronger person on the other side? You may not have wanted to, and you may still look back at it and say, I wish I'd never gone through that. But the bright side is, yes, I do feel like a stronger person. And through that character comes hope. When we've built that character, when we've persevered through some hard things, we see hope. This is not the why of suffering. This is the what of suffering, right? This does not explain why bad things happen, right? When somebody's suffering, you don't go up to them and say, oh, God's just trying to teach you to become hopeful. He's just trying to help you persevere and build character. And like, that's not, when somebody's in the middle of suffering, that's not what you bring to them. That's not the why of suffering. That is the what. That is what God does with our suffering. Why? Oh, I couldn't tell you why. That's a whole other sermon, and one that probably I should not preach, because I have no answers for that, for why suffering. But what can happen in our suffering is we can develop perseverance, and perseverance can become character, and character can lead to some great and serious hope. Because that's a hope that's earned. That's not a hope that's just a pie in the sky. That's a hope that's like, oh my goodness, I can survive something like that. I can survive that pain. I can survive that loss. Maybe there is hope. Maybe that doesn't have to kill me. Maybe that doesn't have to end my life. So, okay. Step back to the beginning of this verse. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Now, glory is something that we have already talked about. We've talked about the hope of the glory of God. We've talked about the grace in which we stand, and we've talked about being at peace with God. If we don't have that peace with God, if we don't have the grace in which we stand, and if we don't have hope, then sometimes suffering can do something else to us. Without peace and grace and hope, suffering can lead to anger, and anger can lead to cynicism, and cynicism can lead to despair. That could have gone a lot of different ways. But that's just one example of how suffering can impact us if we're not ready for it, if we don't have the peace and the grace and the hope of Christ, or if we're not allowing ourselves access to that peace, grace, and hope. Bad times can get us to feel sorry for ourselves. Bad times can get us to be really angry at God, at another person, at whatever. And if we're angry for long enough, for a sustained period of time, then we can become really cynical about this world, about our lives, about our families, and about the people closest to us. And that's a dangerous place to be. And that can lead us to some serious despair. And despair, I think, is the opposite of hope. Where there is no hope on the horizon, that's what despair ultimately is. That's the kind of suffering that is not glorious. I want to talk to you a little bit about coffee. Obviously. It's the point at the service where we have a coffee demonstration. I'm doing a pour-over coffee demonstration, not because I want you all to start drinking pour-over coffee, but just because it's the most simple and easiest to visualize process of coffee. So you may have no idea what this is, but this is called a Hario V60, and this is where you pour yourself an individual cup of coffee. Okay, so there's coffee grounds in here, and there's a filter, right? See this? And you actually put it right on top of your coffee cup, okay? Now, here's what happens. You can't see inside the coffee cup when you're pouring the water in, and you need a way to know how much coffee, how much water you've poured in, so that's why you need a digital scale. So this is what I do. I fire up the digital scale, right? Put my mug, and you have to measure out the grounds, too. I mean, while you're being scientific about it, you might as well be scientific the whole way. So you know exactly 25 grams of ground coffee is where I start. And then I pour hot water. This has obviously been sitting on a hot stove this whole time that you saw. And so I got my 25 grams of coffee. And then I pour, I do 50 grams of water. And then I let it sit for 30 seconds because this is part of the process. This is allowing the coffee grounds to bloom. So you're learning all this about coffee. We're learning to bloom. And then I will finish it off and pour the rest of the cup, which is 360 grams of water added to this the coffee grounds. You guys hear it dripping? Those in the front do. And generally, you time it. You take about 90 seconds to pour all your water, and I'm doing it a little faster than normal, but that's okay. This is going to be a disgusting cup of coffee anyway, because this water is not hot at all. But what do you have to do to a coffee bean in order to make coffee? Yeah, roast it. Yes, you guys know the real process. You roast the beans, but then you got to grind it, right? So, coffee needs to be ground up in order to make coffee. I mean, you could chew on coffee beans if you really want to. You could just pour water over whole coffee beans and see if it makes coffee, and it's you're going to be disappointed. You need to grind up the coffee beans in order for the coffee to work, for the coffee to brew. So we can be a little bit like coffee grounds. We'll just say that. You and I, we're like coffee beans. We are like coffee beans, and the suffering in our lives grinds us up. Right? And some of us have been ground up more finely than others. Some have been ground up just a little bit. Some have been ground and ground and ground till you feel like you can't stand being ground anymore. But what can happen is you go in a filter. I don't know what the filter is. This is an uncomplicated metaphor. But you take some hot water. We'll say that this is the Spirit of God, right? You take the Spirit of God and you pour it over us. This is the love of God. This is the Spirit of God being poured over a ground up human being who's really having a hard time, who's really experiencing some serious suffering. And what comes out through the bottom is coffee. What comes out through the bottom is peace. What comes out through the bottom is hope. What comes out of the bottom is grace. To get a good set of grounds, you need suffering. To get really good grounds, you need to persevere through that suffering. To have really good grounds, to be really fertile for God's Spirit to work, you need to have character, and that character needs to be built into hope. Let's take a look at verse 5. We'll explain it a little bit more. Hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame. The question, how would hope put us to shame anyway? Think about Abraham. This is just from the last chapter. Against all hope, Romans 4:18, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. But for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, Abraham's hope put him to shame, right? Because he had been promised to be this father of many nations, right? He had been promised to be this, like he was going to have a child, and he was this old man. And for many years, it was shameful. It was like, what is going on? This guy thinks, and okay, think about Noah. He's building this gigantic ark. There's not a cloud in the sky. But he has hope that God is going to rescue him. And his hope puts him to shame. And sometimes hope puts us to shame because other people don't see why we even have hope or what the point is of what we're doing. But God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And when the love of the triune God is poured over our sufferings, it makes peace, grace, and hope. So, how many people like to chew on coffee grounds? There we go. We got one. Love it. So we got one. How many people like to drink coffee? Okay, we'll just compare the numbers here. I don't think anybody who likes to chew on coffee grounds probably doesn't like to drink coffee, right? Yeah, okay. So what happens when we make coffee is we take something that is actually kind of gross, just coffee grounds by themselves, and there's a chemical reaction that takes place that creates something beautiful. So suffering, the grounds, the grinding of a human being is painful and it's not to be minimized and it leaves all sorts of voids and scars, right? Some of the suffering you've experienced has left voids in your life that will never be replaced. You have scars that will never go away. That's true, and that's okay to acknowledge and realize. But through God's love, our suffering experience can undergo a chemical transformation and become something else on the other side. Our suffering can undergo chemical transformation and become something else on the other side. And this is our suffering experience. It's not that, okay, I mean, we'll take the example of losing somebody that you love, that you know you will not have again on this earth. That void is there. That void will continue to be there. You will always miss that person, and rightly so. But your experience of that suffering, this is what I'm talking about, your experience of that suffering can transform you. You can undergo a chemical transformation, a chemical reaction in your own soul and body where you on the other side are a new person, where grace and peace and love and hope are birthed anew. And you take something that was disgusting before the Holy Spirit was poured on it, something disgusting like suffering, and guess what you get? Coffee. Now, that's actually not bad. I did not have high hopes for that. So may the Almighty God take you and whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through right now, and put you through a chemical transformation. That the thing which may seem to be the one thing that's bringing you down in life may become the thing that brings life to you. Why? Not because it's great, because it's good and it's okay, but because God can perform miracles. He can take something nasty and broken and turn it into something beautiful. He can shape you in your character and breathe new life into you through your experience of suffering, even though pain is real and should be lamented. God is the God of miracles. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, transforms our lives and transforms each one of you. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for the transforming he's doing right here and now in this room. Let's pray. Mighty God, the source of all our hope, the giver of life, the Prince of Peace, and the source of all grace, thank you for taking each one of us and transforming us, for making something new, for pouring your love into our hearts, that we might see the miraculous occur, that we might see our own lives transformed, that we may build character and find hope, and not a cheap hope of a pie in the sky, but a hope that knows, a hope that knows that the God that we serve can do something remarkable. Absolutely remarkable with our lives and with our communities. It's in the mighty name of our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.